At 2 hours and 57 minutes here, just all the sources again are being looked at, compared. They all are exactly what we'd hope to see. And more than once we've heard Chris Kraft, the director of flight operations, say, "You're on your way. You're really on your way now." We don't have an exact cutoff figure yet in feet per second, but we should be getting it very soon from the flight dynamics officer.
Everything's looking real good down here.
California, inhibit VHF downlink.
Inhibited.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Now your cutoff looks very good down here. We've got a whole room full of people that say you look good.
Roger, thank you. The only situation we have here is the O2 is pegged high, O2 flow pegged high.
Now, do you understand O2 flow high?
We'll get you the burn status report here shortly.
Roger. Apollo 8 Houston, your booster is configured normally, and we're not concerned about the O2 high flow. We think it's normal.
Okay.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Apollo 8.
Roger, the Delta TIG looked like it was right on. Burn time compared to what to be about 2 seconds longer, 517. VGX was reading 95485 when we got it. The attitude was nominal. VI is reading 35452 at cutoff. H dot 04552. And H is 01791. Delta VC on the EMS is minus 20.6.
All right, we copy that, Jim, and I've got some times here for you.
Roger, go ahead.
The booster begins maneuver to SEP attitude at 3:10:55. Takes 5 minutes, so it arrives at 3:15:55. And SEP time, 3:20:55. Your SEP attitude, the gimbal angle.
This is Apollo Control. We're getting a post-TLI report from the crew. I apologize. I quoted some erroneous figures during the course of the burn. Our present altitude is about 240 miles, and very shortly we'll get a more precise fix on that. I believe in the course of the burn I quoted some figures in the thousands of miles, which should have been in thousands of feet. I apologize. Our new displays are getting a good workout, and some of the people reading those new displays are getting a very good workout.
Houston, Apollo 8, over.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, I'm going to start charging battery B.
This is Apollo Control here. We're watching the altitude plot now. Now it's a good solid trace coming to us through Goldstone. We're up to 879 miles. Our present ground elapsed time into the flight is 3 hours, 3 minutes. At the same time, we're already beginning to see the velocity begin to recede slightly. It's down to 32,418 feet per second. And we'll continue to see that slight lowering in the velocity reading and a constant elevation of the apogee. Now 934, 961, and every 10 seconds it seems to be adding about 30 to 40 miles. The spacecraft right now in relation to the Earth is just south of the Goldstone station, which has it in solid lock. We're now seeing our first mid-course charts, early estimates of what we'll be working with, numbers at mid-course. like so many of our data displays, about the time we get locked up on it with our own eyeballs, it moves to another channel. At 3 hours and 5 minutes into the flight, this seems to be a convenient stopping point for the action right now. We'll be back shortly.
This is launch control. Under our present planning, we're aiming toward the post-launch press conference at Press Site 39 at about 11:30 a.m. this morning. The participants in this conference will be as follows. Lieutenant General Samuel C. Phillips, the Apollo Program Director from NASA Headquarters. Dr. Kurt H. Debus, Director, Kennedy Space Center. Dr. Werner von Braun, Director, Marshall Space Flight Center. Dr. John Clark, Director, Goddard Space Flight Center. Dr. Robert R. Gilruth is back in Houston. We'll see if arrangements can be made to include Dr. Gilruth in on the conference. 11:30 for the post-launch press conference. This is launch control.
This is Apollo Control, Houston. We estimate another 7 to 8 minutes before the spacecraft will separate from the S-4B. We have not heard from the crew in the last few minutes. They're busy doing their post-TLI duties, and we're looking at data here, and everything we see is quite comforting. That's the next major event, the separation from the booster. For now, the pool has asked us to replay the communication during translunar injection, which you heard live. Here it is.
To ignition, mark it, and you're looking very good.
Roger. Ignition.
Roger, ignition.
You look okay?
We look good.
Okay. Look good, Capcom.
Flight booster, all systems go.
Roger.
Flight Fido FG 800 miles, we go.
Roger.
And climbing.
Looking good, flight. CNC. Looks good, flight. Booster.
Hawaii confirms that they've got a very solid lock. And Borman almost nonchalantly says, Roger.
Apollo 8 Houston, we're predicting cutoff 255.58, and it looks exactly nominal here.
Roger.
Houston, that predicted cutoff 255.52, and that's exactly as it should be.
255.52.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 3 hours 22 minutes into the flight. Exactly 1 minute ago, we observed separation from the S-4B. The crew immediately turned around and had a look at the S-4B, and we're watching that pitch attitude right now on telemetry coming to us over the eastern test range. And as the vehicle climbs, it will, from a flat map projection, appear to swing to the south and west, which, of course, is a little unusual for our past flights. The Earth orbital tracks, which invariably take us to the east. But we will observe a swing down, starting across the Atlantic and then back across the upper part of South America. We are now trying to establish a call with Apollo 8. Let's see what we can get.
Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Yes, this is Apollo 8 on VHF and S-Man. How do you read?
You're loud and clear, Bill. How may?
Read you loud and clear. We've set. Looking good.
Roger, looking good here.
This is Apollo Control here. No additional communications from the crew, but while we've been sitting here in the last few minutes, the Mission Control Center has gone to what we call the Translunar Phase Map. It's a new display, and those of you watching in the news center will observe a long, elongated figure 8 map, which shows the Earth-Moon transit. And it also shows the numbers, the small flashing lights now being portrayed to us in black and white. And we would estimate our distance at something on the order of 3,500 miles from Earth. It will carry us out in increments of 20,000 miles out to lunar distance. And we'll be able to observe the declination or the general angle in relation to the Earth-Moon system, the entire flight path of the spacecraft. Again, we confirmed S-4B spacecraft separation at about 3 hours, 21 minutes into the flight. And at this time, 3 hours, 27 minutes into the flight, all looks satisfactory. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Hi, Houston, Apollo 8, how do you read?
You're loud and clear, Frank, how are
you? Roger, we're loud and clear. We're taking pictures of the S-4B. The post-separation sequence is completed, and we seem to have a high gain.
Okay, fine. 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, is Bill ready for his VHF test? We can configure any time he is.
Okay, stand by.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
We'd like to ask whether you did a VERB 66 enter to transfer the state vector from CSM to LEM slot. We didn't copy that down here.
We did not.
Okay.
You want us to do that now?
At your convenience.
Roger.
We see the Earth now almost as a disk.
Good show. Get a picture of it.
We are.
Dale Conrad, he lost his record.
We have a beautiful view of Florida now. We can see the Cape just the point.
Roger.
And at the same time, we can see Africa. West Africa is beautiful. I can also see Gibraltar at the same time I'm looking at Florida.
Sounds good. Get a picture of it. What window are you looking at?
The center window.
Right.
This is Apollo Control, Houston. Now the crew seems to be pretty well settled down on their translunar, after their translunar injection.
Are your windows clear so far?
They're getting some time on the window. We just heard Jim Lovell report he could see Florida perfectly. By the way, they're at about 6,500 miles above the Earth now. He said he had a beautiful view of Florida, and then he his gaze roamed a little bit to the other side of the window, and he said he could also see Gibraltar. The crew reminded the control center here that that Pete Conrad and Dick Gordon would have to set aside their altitude record has been exceeded.
How about this VHF check? We'd like to get that done before we get too much further away.
Okay.
Roger, we're listening on VHF Alpha Simplex.
Apollo 8, Houston, say again.
We're listening on VHF Alpha Simplex.
Okay, good. Thank you. VHF Alpha Simplex, and we'll get configured for it. And in between times, give us clues to what it looks like from way up there.
Roger. Well, Mike, I can see the entire Earth now out of the center window. I can see Florida, Cuba, Central America, the whole northern half of Central America, in fact, all the way down through Argentina and down through Chile.
Hey, you picked a good day for it.
Stand by. We're going through the separation maneuver checklist here.
Roger. Standing by.
Houston, this is Apollo 8. We've lost sight of the S4B here. This separation maneuver may be delayed slightly, or else we'll go ahead and make it without having it in sight.
Roger, I understand, Frank.
California, get Houston, Apollo 8.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead.
When does the S-4B do their blowdown maneuver?
Stand by one. Apollo 8, Houston.
Stand by.
Your blowdown will be in 1 hour from now, a little over 1 hour from now.
Roger, we have the S-4B inside again now. We've done the separation maneuver.
Good show, thank you. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
We'd like to take control of the DSC for a while, Bill.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Apollo 8, Houston, we'd like an approximate GET of your SEP maneuver to use for our ephemeris tracking data.
Roger, was 3 hours, 40 minutes, 0 seconds.
340 and a foot and a half feet per second, Roger.
Roger about that.
Okay,
thank you. Mike, we have the exact call out here for you in a burn status report.
All right.
All right, Delta VX minus 00011. Delta VY plus 0002. Delta VZ minus 0002. Roll 0, pitch 180, yaw 0. Over.
Yeah, roger, Polly. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, right, at your convenience, would you please go poo and accept that we're going to update your W matrix, and also when you get a chance, we'd like to know about the SLA panels. Did they all depart, and do you have any comments about the SLA?
They all departed, and it worked fine.
Okay, thank you.
Accept.
Thank
Houston, Apollo 8. Will you give us the information when you want us to stop the venting and so on?
Apollo 8, Houston, Roger. Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, what venting information are you inquiring about? The O2 flow high out through the waste tank or waste compartment, or are you talking about your evaporator?
The evaporator. We're configuring now to stop boiling.
Okay. We concur then. Apollo 8, Houston, you can go back to a block. We've gotten in the load for the W-Matrix update.
Apollo 8, the back pressure valve is closed,
no
water flow is off.
Back pressure valve closed and water flow off. Thank you.
Apollo 8 here.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, it looks like I might have to do a couple more small maneuvers to stay away from the front of this S-4B the way we're ending up now. Do you want me to do these with a P-47 if we have to do them?
Stand by one, Frank. Stand That's affirmative, Frank, on the P-47.
Okay, and give me the time again when it starts to vent, please.
Roger. We're working on an exact VEP event, Frank. Houston.
Go ahead.
All right, I might give you some idea about your trajectory. It looks like a mid-course correction number one projected out to TLI plus 6 hours would be only 7 feet per second. So, of course, any further maneuvers you do add to that, which is probably good.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, at 3 hours, 55 minutes into the flight.
I just want to stay from way in front of this thing.
That we
right,
have additional comm here,
like
but at
safe,
this point,
yeah.
We're going to join a post-launch press conference at the Cape. Let's switch to the Cape.
For Dr. Von Braun, this seems to be the day that you've lived for most of your adult life. It's hard to believe that it's really here.
I can't deny that I'm very happy today. We have lived and worked for this team, not just by myself, but all my associates. And in this case, it includes, I believe, several hundred thousand people.
Holloway, Houston, say again.
For the success.
And
needless to say,
Roger, I understand. That is a supposedly a non-propulsive event. The big blowdown maneuver. It starts maneuvering to blow down attitude at 4:44:55, and the vent occurs at 5:07:55.
Would you be a little philosophical about what this means to the world and mankind, the first out-of-this-world journey, the first people going to another place, a place other than Earth?
Spewing out from all sides like a huge water spring.
Well, I think this flight will be duly recorded as man's first step really away from his abode and to another heavenly body. On the other hand, I think it will not be the only flight. There will be many, many flights to follow.
Say again that big vent time so I can write it down, please, Houston.
All right, big vent time, 5:07:55. And it will be maneuvering to vent attitude beginning at 4:44:55.
Very near to a U.S. ship in the Atlantic.
And Bill's got the tape recorder back.
None
Thank
of us
you.
At the table had heard that report. I heard on the, on our network that the recovery party that was in the plan to recover the cassettes that were dropped out of the first stage also observed the reentry and breakup and splash of the first stage, but that's all I've heard.
Right, we'll check on that for you. I haven't heard that report either. Maybe but we've been over in the control center also. Go ahead, Steve.
General Phillips, it's continues to go well with this flight, and if you have a successful land flight in low Earth orbit on Apollo 9, will you be prepared to commit Apollo 10 to the moon landing mission?
Our president plans to fly Apollo 9 as an Earth orbit
mission
with the
lander. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth, Frank. And we'd also like to know how far away from the S4B here you are now.
Our present plans are to fly Apollo 10.
I guess we're between 500 to 1,000 feet.
2.5 or so months later. Again, as an all-up vehicle with a LAM manned. And our present plans are to fly that flight into lunar orbit, but not to make a landing, to leave and to come back without a landing. We have the flexibility in our program to fly either more or less, and I think you've seen us have to demonstrate that in many ways over the years. Our present plans, however, are to not commit Apollo 10 to a lunar landing.
I've heard it said that if you were to decide, General Phillips, to land Apollo 10, that you'd have to use a lunar module that is now scheduled for Apollo 11 to make that change. Is that true? And if so, how far in advance of Apollo 10 planned launch date would you have to start doing that?
Well, it is correct that that LAM 4, which is committed to Apollo 10, does not have, it is not capable of making the landing according to our present payload and weight and performance scheme. LEM 5, which is committed to Apollo 11, is fully capable of meeting the payload requirements for a lunar landing. So it is clear that to carry out a landing, the earliest LEM that we would expect to use is LEM 5. And if we were to make the bold move that some of you are suggesting, which is to land on Apollo 10 equivalent, then we'd need to be deciding rather immediately, because LEM 4 is well along in its checkout here at KSC. And it won't be very many days until LEM 4 will be committed to and installed on the launch vehicle. Beyond that, then, the only practical scheme of landing on Apollo 10 as a number would be to bypass that vehicle and roll out the one that includes LEM 5. Those are all possibilities, but I hasten to add that they are exceedingly optimistic possibilities, and I think most of us in the Apollo program believe that as our experience continues to mount, we will still feel that we want to fly the LAM twice as a manned vehicle before committing it to a landing. Now, circumstances can change, and we might want to exercise a more ambitious option, and that's why I'm trying to describe clearly what the possibilities are.
Yeah, if we were,
Houston,
if you were to make
Apollo
such a decision, would we
then
expect to see signs of it within
Roger,
the next couple of weeks?
I believe we're going to have to bend over or cast away from this.
I think I can assure you without it.
We're getting
fear of
closer.
Anybody contradicting me that you will not see any such signs over the next
go ahead whenever, just give us some idea
of
when you did it and how much.
Roger.
Go ahead, man.
Few questions as usual.
Houston, could you stand by one? We're working on something here.
I gathered from the flawless flight, everything went well, but I was wondering if there was any extra vibration noticed at all in the pogo effect in the first stage and the J2s in the second and third.
We had communication from the crew during flight, which indicated that there was no pogo effect whatsoever in the first stage, or second, or third stage flight. There was an indication of a very slight transient longitudinal vibration at the second stage transition point from lean to dual width mixture. We have a mixture ratio shift an intentional mix that we assist in the second stage flight, where we go from more thrust to better fuel economy, so to speak. At this point, the thrust is reduced by about 20%, and the crew reported that they felt this very distinctly. Now, as the thrust is reduced, of course, the vehicle, previously compressed like a spring, is a bit unloaded, and so there was a sensation of a little longitudinal vibration for this spring unloading to decay, but you cannot call that a pogo effect. This was expected and quite natural, and nothing we can do about it or would do about it.
Matter of fact, if I could add to that, it was reported, not in personal years, any of the crew said, but it was reported that the crew said that that was the smoothest first stage ride and the smoothest second stage ride and the smoothest third stage ride that they'd ever had. I think that's attributed to Borman, but it, I think it bears out that
the first stage was sighted by helicopters about 25 miles away from the newest ship. This is the latest information we have, the newest ship. This is the latest information we have on that.
If you've yet chosen the man who will go on Apollo 11 and will presumably land on the moon, and
it,
could you possibly put us out of our misery now by telling us who they are?
The crew selection for Apollo 11 has not been made. The crew selections through 10 have been made and announced. They have not been made beyond that.
I apologize for anyone I've... okay, one over here, because we've neglected you, and that'll be the final one. And I apologize to the rest of you, but we have to look after everybody's desires on this, and I think we'll have to get back to the mission.
A somewhat non-scientific question, I make of him, Phillips, perhaps. What contribution, if any, do you think this
Apollo 8, Houston.
America's military superiority.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Frank, you could help us out if you'd explain where you are relative to the booster. In other words, with respect to the Earth and the radius vector, are you above or below or to one side, or where exactly is the booster relative to you?
I personally believe that the...
Well, the trouble were, as I said before, we can't definitely find the Earth. I think that we're in front and a little bit above the... We're almost in front of, directly in front of the booster.
I understand, almost directly in front of the booster.
A part of our total strength.
Perhaps a little bit
I believe that,
horizontally displaced
part, national strength
toward the
between nations.
Let's see.
Partly in the minds of men, and is what people think is the strength. And I believe that our ability or lack of ability as compared to another nation that we carry out space operations.
Houston, to help you, we're looking right directly above the S4B when the sun is on our both on it's on the right side of the S4B and on our coming in our left number one window.
Large step closer to
okay, I understand the sun is on the right side of the S4B and coming in your number one window. And are you, when you give us those angles, that means that your plus X axis is pointed at it with those angles. Is that correct?
Roger.
Okay.
General, I thought you had some closing remarks you wanted to make.
Well, if I may, and this question is a good basis for saying it.
The Earth is in our plus Y plus Z direction now, Mike.
As a step.
Thank you. Earth is plus Y plus Z.
With my own confidence continues to be high, we will be able to carry out sometime next year. I also believe that Apollo 8 and each of the manned flights is important to the country as a whole. Not only to the Apollo and its progress toward a lunar landing, but important to the country. And I believe that the people who made it possible for this mission to fly and take off right on time deserve a tremendous amount of credit.
There are people in factories that go back over months and even years that deserve a tremendous amount of credit. But over the week that this vehicle has been put together, checked out, and made ready to fly here to Cape, I think there's been superiorly outstanding work done. And I'm certainly proud of the organization, and I believe that the country should also give the people here at KSC, both government and industries, a vote of thanks for getting this mission off as it was.
Thank you, sir. Over the drone of the engine, I have one other announcement to make, and that is that Mrs. Marilyn Lovell, the wife of astronaut Jim Lovell, is in the Cocoa Beach area, and she will be happy to meet with the news media at 2 p.m. this afternoon. The location will be at the pool at the Holiday Inn in Cocoa Beach. Back. Thank you very much.
This is Apollo Control Houston at 4 hours, 21 minutes into the flight. And in the last half an hour, we've had a very interesting interchange with the crew. They've given us a good description of what's been going on. But more than that, we've been occupied with trying to understand what a proper maneuver would be to give us added separation from the S-4B. Borman reported some 15, 20 minutes ago that he thought the S-4B was staying a little bit too close for comfort. He estimated its distance from the spacecraft 500 to 1,000 feet. And he said he was viewing quite a lot of venting, not propulsive venting, but just great clouds of venting coming from the S-4B. He later reported it stopped. In the course of the last 20 to 25 minutes, we have been playing music on the VHF, by VHF, out of California, and the crew reports Herb Alpert sounds great. It's being beamed to him just a little bit north of his native Tijuana. So that system, we're trying to find out just how far out in space the VHF will carry. Certainly the quote that stopped us all, more so than anything else, came from Borman. I'm sure it was by accident. But at one point, he, in trying to configure for a slight burn to give him added separation from the S-4B, Borman says, as soon as we find the Earth, we'll do it. And that brought a loud clap of laughter here. Here's quite a lot of tape going back over the last 17 or 18 minutes.
Houston, for information, I'm looking through the scanning telescope now, and I see millions of stars, most of them the venting from the S-4B.
Do you have any trouble telling which of the stars and which are S-4B particles?
Oh, yeah, well, definitely. We're in sunlight, and they look like they're all S-4B, but we don't know. I'm going to attempt the P-52 realign at this time and see what I can do.
I understand him.
Maneuver
you on? No, we're working on it, Frank. We're trying to compute what radially outward will be in close terms. Now, you still have the Earth, as I understand, plus Y and plus Z quadrant. In other words, it's down below you on your right and slightly to your rear. Is that still true?
That's right. Quite a bit to our rear and down below. Right.
Okay, well, we, of course, in that attitude, would want to burn some upward and some to the left, but we're trying to be more precise than that.
Is
Frank, is it still about the same distance away? Are you opening or closing?
It sure is staying close to us.
I understand.
Mike, can you just tell us which way the S-4B pitches and how far it'll pitch to the slingshot maneuver attitude?
Roger, stand by. Frank, your S-4B is within 10 degrees of its final attitude at this time.
Okay, thank you. Houston, you're ready to copy the IMU aligned information.
Go ahead.
All right, star ID 03 and star 36. Star angle difference 0.01. Torquing angles X minus 00034. Y minus 0027. Z plus 001. 00, over.
Okay, thank you. For Y, I just got four digits, 0027.
Roger,
30000,
0027.
Thank you.
And Houston, we're going to have to hold up on the Zisman navigation until after this next little maneuver.
Roger, Jim, we understand it. Give us an updated readout of your gimbal angles when your plus X axis is pointed toward the booster, please.
All right, stand by.
Gimbal angle, Frank, when you get a chance.
I'm getting the COAS right on it now, so we'll be accurate.
Thank you.
Okay, with the COAS right on the S4B, the roll reads 105. The pitch is 275. And the yaw is about 325.
Roger, copy, roll 105, pitch 275, and yaw 325.
Roger. That should be 115 for the roll.
Thank you, 115 roll.
Okay, this is Apollo 8, over.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead.
Now, Roger, if it'll help you on your mic, the Earth is plus Y about 45 degrees and the minus X, and I can see it out my side window. And it's a beautiful view with numerous cloud vortex.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. I understand plus X, 45 degrees between, in other words, halfway between plus Y and plus Z and slightly minus X?
That's negative. It's 45 degrees in the plus Y, in the XY plane towards minus X. Over.
Do you understand? The XY plane toward X, 45 degrees.
45 degrees from plus Y to minus X.
Roger, thank you.
It's behind us to the right, if that'll help.
Roger.
I can still see the Cape and isthmus of Central America.
Right, I understand. And Frank, what we want on this burn is 8 feet per second now. 8 feet per second. We want it radially upward, and we want you to use whatever thrusters are required to burn radially upward at 8 feet per second.
Why do you want to use do so much, Mike?
Because of the separation distance we would like to achieve between now and the time of S4B blowdown.
Okay. Mike, do you want me to go ahead and try to do this, or are you going to give me some gimbal angle?
Apollo 8 Houston, if you go ahead and do it without gimbal angles, if you can do that. Over.
Okay. I don't understand why you want so many feet per second out of it. I think I can... with just a little maneuvering, I could get away from it a lot simpler than that.
Well, we'd like the radial upward for trajectory reasons, and the magnitude we'd like because of the separation distance, which we're predicting you'll have at S4B blown in.
Okay. VHF sounds good.
Roger on the VHF.
Omni B.
Understand, Omni B Baker. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
It's about 12 minutes before your big blowdown, there's a small continuous vent which opens at a GET of 455.55, and you may notice that on the booster. It's a 12, 15-pound thrust.
Okay.
And Apollo 8, could you give us your burn information whenever you have it?
We're maneuvering to the altitude now.
Okay.
Okay, it's not as then you want 8 feet per second burn, is that right?
Like 8 feet per second radially upward.
We're as close to being radially upward as we can determine.
Gotcha. Houston, are you going to use P-47 to monitor the burn?
Yeah, that was Roger. We're putting it in now.
Thank you.
bring down.
Thank you.
Houston, we made the burn, 7.7 plus X, plus 00001Y, and Z's are all zero. The gimbal angles, roll, 180, pitch, 310, and yaw, 020.
Roger, I copy, plus X, 7.7, Y, 0.1, and roll, pitch, and yaw, 180, 310, and 20.
Did you get that information, Houston?
Apollo 8, Houston, how are you reading?
Read you loud and clear, did you get the information?
That's affirmative. I say again, we copied plus X, 7.7, 1/10 in Y, no Z, roll, pitch, and yaw, 180,
310, 020. Roger. The burn was made at, initiated at 445.
Roger, copy, 445, pig.
Okay, you want us to transfer that to the CS, to the LAMP state vector, or just leave it alone, Houston?
Affirmative, Frank. We'd like you to transfer from the CSM to the LAMP state vector.
Roger.
And this is Apollo Control. That brings us up to the live action at 4 hours, 49 minutes into the flight. You heard Jim Lovell say we'd have to postpone his navigation, a cislunar navigation task, which involved plotting several stars, which had been planned during this last half hour. And in its place went the separation maneuver, an 8 foot per second separation maneuver to ensure adequate separation from the S-4B. In the course of the last half hour, we lost lost lock with the beacon on the S-4B. That was VHF beacon. Our present altitude, their distance from Earth, is 17,200 miles, and they're still hearing VHF, which is being piped music, being piped by VHF out of the Goldstone, California station. Now we're asking them again about the booster. Let's listen.
Plus or minus a couple
thousand. Understand.
Houston, this is Apollo 8. I think we've got clearance now. We got a little behind on our P-23s. I suggest we go ahead and start those now.
Roger, stand by.
As we started to say, the distance from Earth, 17,400 miles.
Could you give us a PRD reading?
And in relation to the Earth, down to 14,384 feet per second,
which is number 14,
slowing.
Should be good until about 5:15 GET.
We've just heard from the command pilot, and he says they will resume the flight plan now with their navigation task.
Houston, Apollo 8
at
4
hours
PRD
and 52
rating.
Minutes
go
into
ahead.
The flight, this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Roger, at 4 hours, 4 minutes, Commander 0, CMP 0.64, LMP 0.02.
Roger, copy left to right, 0, 0.64 and 0.02 at 4 hours and 4 minutes, thank you.
Roger, at 4:53, it was 0.01, 0.64, 0.03, and negligible on the survey meter.
Roger, thank you.
I have a beautiful view of the S4B and the Earth here on one. I'll try to get a picture for you.
Hope so. Apollo 8 Houston, we've got you about a minute away from the continuous vent open and 14 minutes away from the big dump, and we'd like an estimate on your distance now, if you can give it.
Stand by. Distance about 3,000 feet, would estimate.
Thank you.
We can see the vent.
Apollo 8 Houston, say again.
Oh, we can see the vent.
Good, thank you.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Jim.
Boy, it's really hard to describe what this Earth looks like. I'm looking out my center window, which is a round window, and the window is bigger than the Earth is right now. We can clearly see the Terminator. I can see most of South America, all the way up through Central America, the Yucatan, and the peninsula of Florida. There is a big swirling motion just off the east coast. And then going over towards the east, I can still see West Africa, which is has a few clouds right now. We can see all the way down to Cape Horn in South America.
In Greece, it must be quite a view.
Yeah, tell the people in Tierra del Fuego to put on their raincoats. Look like a storm is out there.
Right, will do. You care to give them a 24-hour forecast?
Probably as good as any other.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 5 hours, 3 minutes into the flight. The spacecraft is 19,000 miles from Earth, nearing the synchronous point, which it'll just dart on through, of course. Velocity continues to slow. It's now 13,860 feet per second. In the last 10 minutes, we got another beautiful view type statement from the crew. We heard from both Lovell and Frank Borman, and the view indeed must be extraordinary. They described the cloud cover over Africa, over all of South America, and the effects over much of North America. Frank Borman issued a special little weather warning. He suggested the people in the Tierra del Fuego area at the tip of South America better get their raincoats out. Here's the tape of that conversation.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead.
Rod, you might be interested to know the center window is pretty well fogged up, but the other four seem to be pretty good shape.
Well, glad to hear you got 4 out of 5, and your big dump will be coming up in 2 minutes or so.
Roger, we're standing by. The S4B has started dump.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Apollo 8.
Roger. Mike, did you say Star 14 was good about 5:30 something?
Yeah. Stand by when I give you that time again. Star number 14 should be good in for about another 8 minutes, Jim. 7 minutes.
Okay. Now, be advised, the optics calibration is very difficult to do because of all the other little stars floating around here. I'm going to, at your concurrence, bypass it and do it at the end of this.
Roger, Apollo 8, understand. You should have a lock stop now, Apollo 8.
Houston, this is 8. I'm looking through the scanning telescope, and that lock stump just blanked out completely the entire scanning telescope.
Understand.
It's a fantastic sight. It looks like the S4B has some small attitude excursions while it's dumping.
Roger, understand.
Apollo Control here. And we're 5 hours, 9 minutes into the flight, and we, as you heard the crew record, the S-4B is doing its propulsive vent. Now we should see a pretty dramatic separation between the two vehicles. The S-4B will remain on a path which will take it, essentially, if you consider the moon straight ahead of you, for analogy purposes, it'll take it, the S-4B, to the right of the moon, while the spacecraft will veer in to the left and slightly ahead of the moon. Earlier in that conversation, you heard Andrews reporting his PRD readings. That's the personal radiation dosimeter, and perhaps another dosimeter. They were down in the negligible range, as we anticipated they'd be, although the crew at this point has passed through probably the thickest portion of the Van Allen radiation belt as it departs the Earth. It'll continue to go through some residual and background information on radiation on out to about 40,000 miles. That's the new position in this flight. A flight controller name radiation has been instituted because of our passage through the belt. And at this point, we've heard nothing from him, which is about what we expected to do. At 5 hours, 10 minutes into the flight, this is Apollo Control.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
I've got a flight plan update for Bill if he's ready to copy.
Stand by. Ready to copy.
Okay, about 5:10 GET, where we record the block data, TLI plus 4 and TLI plus 11. The TLI plus 4 pad that we gave you before is perfectly all right. We will not require that one, and we'll have the TLI plus 11 hour pad for you shortly. Then at 5:45 or 6 hours on that high gain antenna checkout. Roger, standing by.
Now, we're on Omni-D, and we heard we lost you after TLI plus 4 was okay.
Okay, the TLI plus 4-hour pad is okay. We'll have the TLI plus 11-hour pad for you shortly. And at 5:50 for your high-gain antenna checkout, we'd like you to leave that switch in wide beam width. Reference our conversation the other day, leave it in wide.
Roger. Don't want to zap your receivers.
It has to do with some loss of tracking data, so it's better to leave it wide.
Okay.
Houston, Apollo 8, are you recording what we're getting out of 23?
Stand by one, Jim, I'll check. Affirmative, Jim. We are copying your P-23.
Pretty big numbers there.
Well, we think that's because you bypassed the trunnion check.
Roger. Houston, we're getting some really big numbers in Delta R and Delta B.
All right, I understand, Jim.
Suggest, do we want to proceed with this, or should we just leave him alone?
Apollo 8, say again.
Do you want us to accept these, or should we leave him alone?
Stand by. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, we do not wish you to accept those marks. This is due to the fact that in bypassing the trunnion bias check, you still have big numbers left in those registers. So if you go ahead, after you do the trunnion bias check, then those numbers will become small later. But do not accept the mark. Now.
Understand, yes.
And we have a TLI plus 11-hour update for you when you're ready to copy.
Roger, ready to copy, TLI plus 11.
Roger, Bill. TLI plus 11, and this assumes no mid-course correction number one. It's an SPS / GNN. 63330 minus 163 plus 129er. Are you with me so far? Okay, 0135647 59er minus 0048 9er plus 00000 plus 4725017414000 not applicable plus 0050 1 7 7 1 2 1 2 7 8 2 5 6 0 2 3 up 2 6 5 left 1 8. Are you with me so far?
Right here.
Okay. Plus 1 1 9er 7 minus 1 6 5 0 0 1 2 6 8 1 3 5 6 0 8 0 5 0 4 6 5 3 GDC align north set stars roll 0 6 8 pitch 0 9er 7 yaw 3 5 6 college none other 1 fast return P-37 Delta V equals 7 9er 0 0 for Indian Ocean. Number 2, high speed procedure not required. Number 3, assumes no mid-course correction number 1. Over.
Roger, TLI plus 1-1, SBS, GNN,
163330 minus 163 plus 129er 013564759er minus 00489er plus 0000 plus 47250. You copy so far?
Yeah, I'm with you so far. Follow away, Houston, that's affirmative, I'm with you.
Roll 177-144-00 NA plus 00197 47253554 47050 12-12782-6 correction 256 023 up 265 left 18 copy so far.
Yeah, I'm with you so far, Bill. Go ahead.
Plus 1197 minus 16500 12681 35608 0506 correction 050-4653 North set 068 097 356 0 Ullage Note 1 Fast return B-37 Delta V 7900 Indian Ocean 2 High speed procedure not required 3 Pat assumes no MCC-1 Over.
That's all correct, Bill.
Roger.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Apollo 8.
Roger, Mike. I might give some comments on B-23 data. The auto maneuver was quite accurate. Looks like we got to the sub-tiller point in the maneuver. Auto optics put Canopus right where it should be. Minimum pulse control worked as advertised. At the altitude at which I started to do the sightings, we have a definite hazy band line. The filter gives the Earth a glow, sort of an orangey glow. It's very indefinite of where to put the star. But there does seem to be a solid line where you might expect the horizon to be that appears through the haze where we expect the atmosphere to be. I followed the procedure which we had done up at MIT about utilizing the top of the haze layer as a definite line for these sightings. In regards to the optics calibration, it was very difficult to find the star in the landmark line of sight due to the bending of the S-4B.
Roger, Apollo 8. We copied that, and we'd like you to do that trunnion check, that calibration, prior to your next set of sightings.
Roger, will do. Canopus just disappeared from view, and maybe we get a little time here. I'll try and get a calibration the first thing.
Roger, understand.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 5 hours, 33 minutes into the flight. We are now at 22,500 miles from Earth, velocity 12,700 feet per second.
Are you
in the in the course of his recent remarks, Jim Lovell said that it was he had a lot of difficulty finding the proper stars during his star checks from... because of the competition of the S-4B venting. Apparently that's setting off big splashes of light which drown out the stars. However, they should be separating. At the last reading, they were 3,000 feet from the S-4B, and that distance should be growing.
Roger, thank you.
The crew is just advised that they can no longer hear the music we've been piping to them by VHF out of California. The last report they were getting was 19,000 miles. We just queried them. They said they were not hearing us. We've got quite a lot of tape backed up. We'll play it for you now.
That was some pretty nice music while it lasted.
Yeah, I bet so. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
We're going to have to wait until we get the high gain antenna locked on again to dump the tape.
And you about ready for us to go to the PTC attitude?
Stand by one. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead.
We'd like to hold off on the PTC and get some more P-23 information. We'll have some more details of that for you shortly.
All right. Mike, what I'm doing now, I'm going over to Star Sirius.
Apollo 8, Houston, you faded out completely on that, Jim. I heard Frank, but you faded when you began talking. Say again.
Roger, I've switched to Sirius, the second star, the first set, to see if I can get an optics calibration on it at least.
Roger, that's fine. We'll have some more good words for you shortly.
Uh-huh.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead.
Jim, on your P-23, we'd like you to go ahead and do the calibration and then use star number 15 and take three sets, followed by star number 16, two sets. Over.
Roger, Houston, that's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to get 15 for an optics cal. It was very difficult with a bright Earth to find a star that we could get into the sector. I'm trying to use the auto optics in P-23 to get the star. We have that now. We're trying to maneuver the spacecraft to bring the trending to zero so we can get the landmark line of sight.
Roger, understand. And I also have your PTC attitude, which is different than you have. I'll give that to you whenever you got a free moment.
Ready, copy.
All right, PTC attitude will be pitch 242, yaw 020, over.
Pitch 242, yaw 020, copy.
Very good, thank you.
Apollo
8, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, we'll hold up on a high gain check until we get out of P-23.
Roger, Bill, thank you. May have to delay your lunch a little bit. Are you hungry?
No.
First time I've ever heard you say that. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, it looks to us like your S-4B is behaving completely normally in regard to all the blowdowns and other sequential events that take place. It looks good.
Roger, how far away is it from us now?
Yeah, we were going to ask you.
Okay. 50 miles.
Roger, copy.
Let's make that 80 kilometers since it's an international aspect of this flight.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 5 hours, 52 minutes into the flight. You undoubtedly heard Frank Borman say that they would delay temporarily the checkout of the high-gain antenna. And that We've just got an estimate from the crew on the distance of the S-4B. Frank Borman estimates 50 miles, about 50 miles away, and then he corrected it and said, in view of the international aspects of this flight, let's make it 80 kilometers. Meanwhile, Lovell is checking his navigational programs and assuring that he can see the, making sure that his optics are operating properly. At 5 hours, and the high gain antenna, by the way, is of course of considerable interest to our many of our data transmissions, including the transmission of televised data. So it was programmed to be checked out at 5 hours and 40 minutes into the flight. It'll be delayed slightly, perhaps 15, 20 minutes. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Okay, Houston, we did an optics calibration. We get zeros all the time.
Do you understand optics calibration and zeros all the time? Good.
It takes a lot longer to do it, though. I had to go to a star like Sirius to finally see it.
Roger, understand. Oh, we're real glad you got that so we can get a horizon calibration term in the computer.
Looks like the number 5 window is starting to fog up, Houston.
Roger, Houston understands that the number 5 is fogging up.
Houston, P-23 coming through, Sirius.
Roger, again, thank you.
These numbers are a little better.
We would expect so.
Houston, I ain't reading Apollo 8.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, have you been getting the downlink on the P-23?
That's affirmative.
Okay, now how much longer do you want us to hold up going to PTC?
Stand by, one thing.
This is Apollo Control, Houston. It's 6 hours, 8 minutes into the flight. We've pretty well settled here in the control center on a first mid-course correction, just presently planned as an SPS burn. Purposely wanted to get some early indication of its performance, the service propulsion system, and fortunately the other events seem to have worked in our favor. We're presently planning an SPS burn of about two to three seconds. Duration, we'll be putting 24 feet per second into the overall velocity. And this event is presently scheduled to occur at about 9 hours into the flight. And let's see, beyond that, we still have no other indication of, we don't know any better just when the high gain antenna checkout will be made, but it should be done shortly. We have some tape from the last few minutes. We'll play it for you now.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Apollo 8, Houston. Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Roger, are you recording all of the data from 23, or do you want some written down to you?
We're standby, Jim. We think we're getting it all. We're confirming now. That's affirmative, Jim. We're getting all that's coming down. How's it going?
It's working very nicely. I finished one set with Sirius, 3 stars, and one set with Procyon, or 2 sightings. 3 sightings with Sirius, 2 with Procyon. Alter.
Okay, Houston, this is Apollo 8. We're ready to go to the PTC attitude.
Roger, Roger, Frank, understand. And we understand you've completed all five sets, three on one and two on another in P-23. Is that right?
That's affirmative, but we've finished five sightings, three on 15 and two on 16.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo
8. Frank, what we're doing down here is this. We'd really like for horizon calibration, we'd like a total of 15 marks, you know, three sets on one star, two on the other. On the other hand, we're balancing that with the need to go to PTC, and we're not losing sight of the fact that you want to go to PTC right away. So if you could bear with us just another couple of minutes, we are trying to decide whether to ask you to go back and do some more P-23 or whether to clear you at this time to go to PTC. Over.
Okay, we started the maneuvering to PTC. We're just kind of far behind is the only thing I'm concerned about, Mike. Jim is now taking off his pressure suit.
Roger, understand. How about you and Bill?
Well, we're standing by until he gets through.
I understand. And you are maneuvering to PTC, that's fine.
Well, I would prefer to do that, but we'll hand by.
All right.
What you...
Okay, stand by just one. Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, we would like to hold off on the passive thermal control until 7 hours GET, and in the meantime, to get as many more P-23 marks as Lovell can give us, starting again with the first star and doing two sets of three marks each, and then going to the second star we gave you. And concurrent with that, if possible, we'd like Bill to run this high gain antenna check out if Lovell's attitude is compatible with that. Over.
Okay, but they have not been to date. We're almost to the passive thermal control attitude now, and Jim is just halfway through taking his suit off.
Roger, understand.
We'll have to hold off for a minute here.
Roger, Frank, and the reason for this, of course, is the horizon calibration requires a number of points to give you good data for the onboard nav coming home.
Roger, we understand. We'll be right back with you. Just have to wait a minute here.
Roger, thank you.
That failing to separate from the S4B kind of follow this up there.
Understand.
Apollo 8, how do you read?
Apollo 8, go ahead.
All right, Roger. We're standing by. Are you about ready for the high gain antenna trial?
Okay, just a second. We'll check on that. And are you in a position where you can go back to the star sightings?
Well, we will be, but we can't until Jim gets ready.
Okay, we'll stand by and you'll give us a mark on that. In just a second, I'll check on the antenna. Okay, looks like we're ready to go on the high gain antenna check, and we can either go with commands called out from the ground and you can monitor it, or you can be talked through it, whichever you prefer.
Well, stand by. I guess we're not quite in the proper attitude yet. Huh?
Roger.
We're slowly getting there.
This is Apollo Control Houston at 6 hours 29 minutes into the flight. At the present time here in Mission Control Center, we're in the process of changing shifts. Flight Director Milton Windler and his maroon team of flight controllers are coming on to relieve Flight Director Clifford Charlesworth and the green team.